Hello, and welcome to episode 296 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, writer of MI666, and joining me are the creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
He's a black belt in BS. It's Tony Esmond.
You know it, baby.
Yep. And this week, we're very pleased to be joined by the creator of the action-packed comic, and something that's become a favourite here.
Yeah, definitely one of our favourites, yeah.
The series Snake Claws, Edison Neo. Hello.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for the kind words.
I also say, Edison, you've got the coolest name in the world.
I received that quite a bit. Didn't expect that, but yes.
Yeah. It's both the Matrix and a little bit steampunky. It's so cool. I might change my name.
you can't do it now, Tony. You spoiled it live on air. But Edison is also a bit of a legend because he's staying up late just to talk to us.
Yeah, thanks, man. I did this once for an American podcast, and I feel your pain, my friend. Yeah. By the end of this, you'll be seeing the sun coming up out the window.
It's fine. I have the day off work tomorrow. I'm going to sleep in and I'm just going to chill.
Good man. Yeah, you'll need the rest after this.
Yeah.
I mean, I always need a rest after our sponsorship ad every week, don't I, Tony?
Yes. We need a rest anyway.
Who are our sponsors again?
Comic House.
Oh, yes. Yes, they are our sponsors. We love them. They're the indie comic marketplace with a difference. And after this week's show, you'll definitely want to go on there. Because there's a huge selection of titles on the comichouse.com database. If you self-publish on there, you can list your book on there and start selling hard copies of your book straight away. But more and more people should be aware of and check out the app. It's a brilliant digital reading app for indie comics, specializing in indie comics. And it's a great way of discovering new stuff all the time. Basically, subscription service, only £3 a month. You get access to an enormous library of indie comics, and it's getting bigger all the time. There's no comics being taken away. So it's the value for money is insane, and it's being added to all the time. What's on there at the moment, Dan?
There's a whole slew of the Misadventures of Adam West comic by Tidal Wave Productions. There must be like better part of 25 issues on there. There's
really?
Actually reams.
Yeah, they're I'm not seeing. They really are nuts.
It seems like a lot of the covers pay homages to kind of either films or TV shows or other comics. So I'll check out an issue of that, see what it's like.
We've got
Time Fracture by Splendor Comics, issue one. That's great. And bringing this back onto the subject, we've got issue 5 of Snake Claws, Rumble at the Drunken Prawn, ready to go on there.
Yes, brand new.
You got there's three of your comics in the top 10, baby cakes. I've been looking, Edison.
Yeah,
because it's free.
Yes, because issue 5 of Snake Claws launched just this week, so we're looking forward to talking.
Yeah.
And every issue is insane, but we'll get onto that in a second. So there's all of that stuff and more. If you want to find out more and a 14-day free trial, and also if you want your kids to read comics, they have a kid-friendly section. So if you sign up,
a lot of my comics are in that section.
No, they're not. Let's be honest. Yours are in the naughty, naughty section.
Yeah, mine are in the band section.
Yeah. You don't get comic nasties, do they? What do they call it, like the EC stuff?
Oh, yeah, you do.
You had video nasties, but what did they call the comic version of that?
Pre-code. I don't know what they call it. Yeah. It's called it at the time. Yeah,
yeah. But no, you should read all of Tony's comics as well. So find out more about the sponsor and all of those great comics at comichouse.com. Right.
I was going to say 90s Image Comics. Ew. But that's not.
So they've got issues of Panther. That looks saucy, doesn't it? Dynamite Comics. She's always in a bikini. Because if I'm ever out to fight people, if I ever go out to, you know, have a martial arts fight or fight, you know, the underworld, I always put a bikini on. Always the best way to do it.
What's the story behind that character, Tony?
I can't remember. It's a legacy character, isn't it? It's been about for a while. I think it's one of the sort of pulpy ones that they bought. It crosses over. I never read the ongoing, but I think she crossed over into a couple of the team books they put out at the time. We like, you know, the Green Hornet and all that sort of thing.
Blimey.
Some chick running around in a black bikini.
Yeah.
It's not my living room.
it sort of boggles your mind, really. Sometimes. Was that from the 90s? It clearly is from the 90s.
No, it's from about 5-6 years ago.
What?
Yeah, no, maybe 10 years ago. It's not that long ago.
Actually, yeah. You just go to Kickstarter and stuff like this clearly exists. If you search for it, if you want it, it's there. That's what we know about the internet. Deep joy. But what we also know is that violence is never the answer. But by the power of Grayskull, it looks good in comics. I'm trying to be nice. I'm good cop this week, Tony.
Violence is only the answer if you're reading annoying people on Twitter.
Violence is never the answer. It's a question, and the answer is yes.
Yeah, actually,
Dan was brought up as a child on very violent movies involving Jean-Claude Van Damme and these sort of people.
Yeah, was I. I actually, we're all born from the same cloth. But yes, there's nothing quite like seeing a bunch of kinetic, sort of awesome comic book pages and characters just kicking the hell out of each other. Now, when we're talking about violence, and we've talked about martial arts and stuff and things like that before, we're not talking about gunplay here or, like, you know, cool people diving out of windows with two guns like they're in a John Woo movie, etc. No, this is the real kinetic...
Mano a mano.
Yep.
That's what we want. Yeah.
Yeah. Just properly sort of one-on-one or one against 20 or a boatload of ninjas if you want to do things like that.
I never forget my dad's description. I said, can we rent a Bruce Lee movie from the shop? And he said, are they the sort of movies, son, where he gets in a fight with like 100 people and beats them all in one go? I went, yeah, they're the ones. So he went, sounds good.
That's such a great description of this movie.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. And I think when it comes to, we're just going to get straight into it, folks. I mean, I think when it comes to comics and, you know, it's such a visual medium and there's so many different ways of sort of portraying a fight on the page, that there is an unmissable influence of cinema, isn't there? I think when it comes to like fights on the page, there's usually a lot of times you can link it back to a lot of cinematic sort of fights. I don't think we're all kind of influenced by some of the movies or the action scenes.
Martial arts comics, I think. Yeah, I think we get this, don't we, with a number of genres. So horror comics, mm-hmm. we always end up referencing movies because it seems to be where the people that create horror comics come from. And I think if you're doing a straight martial arts comic, then there's got to be a link back somewhere to maybe the Shaw Brothers or something like that. What do you think, Edison? Would you agree? Or?
Yeah, I mean, the Shaw Brothers are the guys who... Yeah, I don't think I know enough of the history to say they are the pioneers, but I would say they really exploded led the explosion of martial arts movies around the world.
And Golden Harvest, I suppose.
In Asia, weren't they? Yeah, Golden Harvest, I think, came after them. Or something like that. Yeah,
I think you're right. Yeah. Cool. And so, I mean, is that something you? I mean, are you a martial artist yourself? Have you ever trained in martial arts?
No.
No.
Yeah. So, it's funny because I think there's some kind of assumption that everyone in Asia.
Oh, no, I didn't mean like that. I mean,
No.
I've got a background. I've got
it before, like when I went traveling. The first question they asked me, we all learn martial arts in school and stuff like that. No, it's just funny. And I'm not a martial artist. I mean, I wish I was, but I don't have the physical abilities and the stamina to actually learn one. It's too much, man. It's too much.
You should come past our table at conventions. Dan often breaks a board with his head.
Don't say that. We won't be invited back again.
Instead, I've got the punch bag frame out of the shed, and I'm going to put it up tomorrow.
Oh my god! Dan's clearly got a violent past, haven't you, Dan?
the street gangs of Croydon were something else back in the day. Yeah.
But one thing that you do have, Edison, is you've completely got a grasp. You may say, "Oh, no, I don't have the physicality to do martial arts." But you've clearly got a grasp of sort of martial arts and how to put them on the comic page, in a fun way. Because, like, you know, one of the reasons that we love Snake Claws is it just hits that right sort of rhythm with us, and it's just and it's got charm as well as just also you just like seeing people getting kicked in the face.
We were saying about the with lazy movie references, but like being a martial artist, a good martial artist in real life doesn't translate to being a good martial artist on screen. So being an artist, we need to know how to kind of communicate the speed and the action and the athleticism. Mm-hmm. And that's something that is apparent in Snake Claws.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something Bruce Lee said. He said, look, I look great on film, but, you know, I wouldn't stand a second against Muhammad Ali. And he says, oh, who'd win you or Muhammad Ali? And he said, I wouldn't last a second against him. I look great kicking ass on film. You know, it's like,
There's definitely a performance aspect.
Yeah. Well, and also in the page as well. I mean, like, I think... Yeah. Do you find... I mean, because your comics are all fights all the time. Well,
I love the first one because it's just like a non-stop fight, like literally. That's all I wanted, man, out of it. Yeah.
Not only that, you decided to put it on a moving train. You maniac. But we're, as the series goes on, then we're getting more story and background and stuff, which I find fascinating as well. Definitely. But did you just... was it just, I just want to draw some badass fights, which I think every artist kind of wants to do at some point. But
Yeah, okay, so it's a funny story, and maybe it might be a bit of a long one. So
Go for it,
do it, man. Yeah,
okay, you guys want to hear the long story? Then...
Yeah, bring it, mate. You've got so hours. During 4 hours, so don't worry.
So back in last year when, you know, when COVID started and everything, and I mean, over here we had kind of a lockdown as well.
Yeah.
So I started watching...
So people don't know, you're in Singapore, aren't you? Is that right?
Yes, I'm from Singapore, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we kind of had a two-month lockdown.
Mm.
And I just started rewatching all my... for some reason, I just got onto all the old martial arts movies that I watched before. So I kind of watched stuff like, you know, Drunken Master. Have you ever heard of
Jackie Chan? Jackie Chan, yeah.
Yeah, and I was just kind of inspired, you know, like, how, okay, firstly, the start of the movie, in the first 5 minutes, you get maybe a five-minute fight. It just doesn't make any sense. Just immediately fight, then a bit of story, fight, a bit of story, and fight. So throughout the movie, they have, like, so many sequences of fights that you can tell the point of the movie was just to watch some awesome action fighting.
Mm. You know? Yeah.
My first thought was, how can I? I mean, I want. I mean, my favorite medium is comics, right?
Mm.
And I was thinking, okay, if I'm gonna translate that first 5 minute fight into a comic, it's gonna take 20 something pages just for that first few. You know, I mean, the beats are so fast and so intense.
Yeah.
And so I was just thinking, how can I actually incorporate that intensity, that choreography into a comic book, and how do I have a satisfying fight? Because I've always been excited about reading about fights in comics, right?
Mm,
and
yeah.
Always pages, so two or three pages, and then that's it, you know.
Mm.
And it's always not really satisfying. And I was just thinking,
some epic fights
are really
built up, and I think modern comics like Invincible really sort of they stretch those fights out to a whole issue, but sometimes they're sort of truncated, aren't they? They're shortened, a lot of comic book fights, so it's one or two pages and this epic boss battle is sometimes over.
Yeah, I think that there's a real drama of to and fro in a great fight, in a comic, in a movie, even in a boxing match, you know, a live sporting event, is who's winning, who's on top, who's, you know, determined, who's, you know, failing, who's tired, mm-hmm. who's strong. It's a play in itself, a fight, a lot of the time, you know. Yep. And then you add to that the dialogue that which you've added as well, and the different sort of styles and techniques and multi-strikes and stuff like that. It becomes, you know, a stage play in itself, I think, a lot of the time. People miss out on that. And I think a lot of American comics go for this one, you know, one dramatic big splash page of Thor hitting someone with a hammer, without it being more of an actual fight. You know, everyone says, oh, they're punch-em-up comics, but they're not always.
Yeah, exactly. We have like 18 pages of build-up and then two pages of one punch, one big punch, you know.
Yeah. And if you have that in a film, everyone's like, what? Do you know what I mean? If the first Matrix, the final fight was over in like 30 seconds, you'd be like, what?
Yeah.
That would not fly.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's a drama to it. There's a tension. There's everything. I love it, man. I think it's brilliant. Yeah. I'm a big boxing fan as well. And I love watching a boxing match for that reason, because they know how to build the drama up, don't they, these days, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'll even argue there's a bit of wrestling involved, you know, professional wrestling, like storytelling. Someone is way stronger than the other, but then somehow they manage to turn a corner, stuff like that.
Yeah, they've got that down to a fine art, aren't they, wrestling? Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought about it recently, and I realized that during this lockdown period, I somehow, I used to be a big a WWE fan when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So they had a free trial, and I signed up for the WWE network, and I was just watching all the old matches that I used to watch.
Oh, I've been there.
But
I've
was kind of, yeah, it was in my subconscious, you know. But
yeah.
When I look back at my comic, I just realized, shit, it's just wrestling, you know. They have weird names. They all have a gimmick, you know. They all have some kind of some character, like some animal that represents them, and they have their names, their finishers, and stuff like that. And I realize it's actually just wrestling the whole time.
So you were looking to like explore, like just putting a fight, you know, doing that fight. How did that then turn into this? You know, to have one fight. And then where did it go from there?
Okay, this is where it gets really long. So, basically, I was trying my best to become work hard at being an artist, right? Comic book artist, and I just couldn't get. I did some 4 or 5 page scripts, and I couldn't get more scripts to work on. Like, I couldn't find someone to collaborate with and things like that. So, I just decided to. You know, I just try to write one comic, and it's just the simplest idea possible. And two guys just fighting on a train. I mean, there's not much background to draw. You know, there's these two characters to draw, and I can just try to make them fight the whole issue. You know, so kind of in a way, it was kind of practice. And then another aspect was also. I wanted to work on my own comic as well, and I was thinking of this grand idea of like, I want to do a story of an adventure story about this kid who wanted to grow up to be a martial artist, and then he runs away from some oppressive home and stuff like that, and it became so convoluted that I didn't know what to do with it. So I kind of decided that maybe all of these characters in this story, they want to take revenge on this big bad, you know, and maybe I should think of a backstory for this. And then that's how I came to Snake Claws. So basically, Snake Claws was a prequel idea for my whole original comic that I wanted to work on. Yeah. And
twists you use is you use the villain as the protagonist, almost, don't you?
How did you fall upon that? Okay, so if you notice that in the first comic, right, in Snake Claws 1, we don't really see that who is the protagonist, right? Like, it's just this guy, but you kind of root for a Little Scorpion because he's the underdog and stuff like that. So at first, I was just thinking that this Snake Claws villain guy, right, would just appear in random issues and cause some harm to the characters. And then later on, they would join forces together and try to, take revenge on him or something. But after I finished book one, I just felt that this Snake Claws guy is just more interesting, you know. More like
fun, yeah.
He's a really powerful guy, but he's kind of sick of, like, fighting people who are just not worth his time, you know. and then you know, he's just kind of sick of his, he just wants to get like an actual challenge and stuff like that. So I just felt that his character was way more interesting to write about. And I mean, of course, in the first issue he was kind of overpowered. So when the next few comics, I decided that, oh, okay, maybe I should expand on his backstory and stuff like that. Yeah.
So you, okay, yeah, you kind of depowered him a little, you know, because, I mean, for the, yeah, first issue, he is very much the big villain, and he's so casual in you know, he just dismisses the guy that comes up to fight him. But as the series goes on, you add more layers that, you know, it's not so easy for him a lot of the time. And I think obviously that helps with the different characters you're putting against him. He's got to fight a different person every time.
And also one of the reasons is he's also the challenger in the first comic. He's just a young kid, and so he kind of handles him well. Yeah. But along the way, he meets more people who are more experienced and stuff like that.
I mean, the character in issue 4, the old lady is my favorite character. She just the classic sort of.
Yes.
The master going up against a master who is like,
an immortal.
Yes, it's so good. But I know what you mean. Like when you say about, like, you've got like this ultimate sort of, you know, martial arts master, and in the classic sort of way, when you're that good, everyone's going to step up, aren't they, and sort of say, "Fight me! You need to fight me!" And they must be like, "Oh God."
Yes, exactly.
That's interesting. Yeah, the character was so interesting. It took on the life of its own. Do you know what I mean? He was like, "Well, I'm not sure where I'm going to go with this, but this guy's so interesting that I'm gonna stick with him and see where this where the rabbit goes."
And it was meant to be a one shot, actually. I mean, you can tell that the ending is quite a definite ending, and I just meant to do that as like a practice or like an exercise. And then I kind of got a very good response to this first issue. And I was like, okay, actually people care about this. So, you know, and then along the way, I got some ideas and how to expand the story. And so I just went along with it. So I guess you can tell that maybe the first two issues, the tone is a little bit different from the next few. I think after issue 3, it starts to get settled into, like, it's more Snake Claw centric, and you see things more from his perspective.
Yeah, you give it much more of an arc from that point onward, don't you? The first issue is fun and it sets up the character, but beyond that, you give it a story. And I was curious about this, the manual that appears that he's looking for. Where did that come from, that idea? I know, being an old school martial arts fan, there's this infamous finger book, isn't there, that appears in a lot of movies.
Yes, there's all kinds of
chasing around a manual. Like, I've seen a couple of ninja films and they're looking after like the ninja manual. It's like, well, it's only a book.
The finger book is it from the Five Fingers of Death or something like that, where he can be taught where to, there's like I think Tarantino nicks it, doesn't he, for Kill Bill, where there's a point.
Pressure points.
It's a classic trope of all these martial arts films. Is like this thing where you like, oh, if I obtain this book and somehow read it, I will obtain all the skills that they are in the book. But actually, you know, it's practice. It's just a manual, like literally just a reading manual, you know. But you still have to do the practice and all the stuff. Yeah, so it's a very classic trope.
It's very similar to the fact my missus bought a book on DIY, and she thinks if she reads it, I can do all the DIY in the house. I don't know if that's
exactly the same idea.
they play with that trope in Kung Fu Hustle, like with the Buddhist.
Yes, exactly. And
I've watched that in ages. I must watch that again. I love that film.
It's a good film.
Yes. Yeah, I mean the movie is really, really funny. And it's really classic Kung Fu, there's a parody and
Shaolin.
Shaolin
Soccer, was it the one before?
Shaolin Soccer, that came after. Yeah. That's insane. That's crazy.
Yes.
That's probably like the closest you get to sort of like sort of anime and manga, like live action, isn't it?
Yeah, like a living cartoon.
Yeah.
Well done.
That's one thing I was going to ask you, Edison, is what is the scene like in Singapore? I've got a friend who lives, he's a comic artist from Malaysia, and he speaks very highly of the Singapore Comic Con. He says it's the big one for him every year. Is it quite a good scene out there? Or
I mean, okay, to be honest, I haven't been to one.
Right, okay.
I haven't been to one as an artist and also as a fan, because every year the guests who are invited, they are not my favorite. So I don't want to jostle in the queue for the signatures.
Well,
and stuff
you'll have a table soon enough, my friend.
Yeah, I'm surprised you'll have a table next.
In fact, I got one for last year's one, but I mean, it was cancelled. Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's fine. This year, yes, it should be.
So is it mostly where does your style to me, Edison, and tell me if I'm wrong, reminds me more of maybe Marvel or DC comics than it does of manga. What's the main influence in Singapore? Is it a bit of both, or is it?
Okay. Yeah. So in Singapore, we actually have both. It's quite strong. But I would say that the Marvel and DC big two stuff trends towards the older audience. I could be wrong, but this is just my what I see. And then the kids and the teens are they're really into manga, and you know, like I think there's stuff like Demon Slayer now that's around, and it's just crazy. It's huge.
It's a bit like that here, to be fair.
Yeah,
it's a similar dynamic.
So I think the scene is kind of the same, but I would say there's a more of a appreciation towards the big two stuff. Like anything that has to do with Western comics is really big two stuff, and there'll be people who will be stacking their DC and Marvel pool list a lot. And they really care about. I mean, there's a big bunch of speculators as well. So I would say there's more interest in mainstream comics than the alternative stuff.
Yeah.
What about your influences, dude? Where do yours come from?
Okay. Yeah. So my main influences came from when I was young. It was newspaper comics, right? Like Garfield, Peanuts.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure you guys know Asterix and Obelix.
Yes. Yeah, love it, man. Yeah.
And Tintin and stuff like that. They were all available in libraries everywhere. Yeah, and those were my young influences. And I only got familiar with the big two much later on. And I had no idea there was a comic shop in Singapore when I was a kid, you know. It's just so out there. Like, it's not very apparent in the culture over here. There's not much of a reading comic culture over here. Especially. Yeah. And so I was almost 20 when I found out there was an actual comic shop in Singapore, you know, and that's when I went crazy and, you know, just got into everything. And yeah, my main influences was definitely like Marvel comics at first. I was really into X-Men, of course.
Yeah.
X-Men, what else? All kinds.
Any particular artists you really were fond of? Or?
Yeah. Exactly. So after I got familiar with the stories, I kind of gravitated towards the art, you know.
Yeah.
So Stu Immonen.
I can see that, man. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just trying to ape his style as much as possible. So are you familiar with Next Wave?
Yes. Love that. Yeah. That's got a similar sense of humor to your books, actually.
Yes. Course, I was trying my best to copy.
So that's Warren Ellis. That's the one with Machine Man and all this. Stuff. It's really funny.
So good that book.
So basically, if you want to talk about Snake Claws, right? I was reading that a lot, and I just thought it was just the funniest book. I mean, there are few books that you actually read in comics that you can actually laugh out loud, right?
That was one of
those comics, and I just thought. You know, the cartoony style and the humor is just so funny, so clear, and I just thought, okay, I can try this. You know, I think I can achieve something like this. I mean, the style, not the humor, right? And The coloring was very simple and flat, you know, like just two tones and stuff like that. So I was just trying my best to just like pour through the details of the comic and try to replicate that as much as possible. And also at the same time, I was reading, I just started reading Murder Falcon by Daniel Warren Johnson.
And
that was kind of the spark that really spurred me on to do Snake Claws, because it was just so crazy. You know, the concept is just so absurd. Mm. It's just so, I mean, using the power of metal to fight monsters, you know.
just the best idea ever.
Yeah.
Have you seen that in any Big Two comics? I don't think so.
No.
And I was just like, oh, okay, so you can actually just write and draw comics like that. You know, it's just fun and like just crazy, you know, whatever idea you want. And that really freed my mind to think of something as crazy, you know. And yeah, those two are the really big influences. Yeah. And
The Daniel Warren Johnson sort of influence.
Yeah. Yes.
And certainly, folks, we'll put it in a link in the show notes. But Edison, before the show, he shared a link with us where you did a sort of mini sort of portfolio sort of review with Daniel Warren Johnson, which is on his YouTube channel, which I
suggest you. Okay.
Yeah. That's
the best day of my life. I'd have been intimidated to hell.
Oh my god. I was so nervous. I had, in fact, in the Skype call, I was telling him, can I go to pee first before we start?
He's the sweetest guy, though. We've had him on the show. We've met him at the Thought Bubble and everything. He's a lovely kid.
Yeah. He was so nice. You know, I was like, please show mercy. And he's like, say, oh no, it's awesome. I love it and stuff like that. And wow, it was just crazy because I sent in the portfolio without any expectations. You know, when I just sent in the pages, I completely forgot about it, like 5 minutes after it, because I just was just so confident that he's never going to reply because of all the replies he's going to get. Yeah, and just, you know, 1 week later, he replied the email, and I was the first guy that he wanted to be on the portfolio.
Nice,
that's awesome. And it speaks to the quality of your work, but also it's a really it's a really nice video to watch, actually, because I think Daniel does a really good job of presenting it, and he's very nice. And it isn't one of those when people think portfolio reviews, and you know, people think the dreaded C word, criticism, and you know, it's critical, but it's almost like I can see you learning on that video.
And
it's a
masterclass.
It totally is. It's him sort of saying, I love what you've done with the, and this is very important, people, when you're trying to teach, I think, you don't, he doesn't go into it saying, you've done this wrong, this is how you should do it. He suggests things. He sort of says, well, how about if you try this? You know, this is why this might not work as well, so let's try this. Mm-hmm. And you see him, it's all digital and it's all on screen, and he apologizes constantly for cutting apart your pages, doesn't he? But that must have been so fascinating.
It was really great.
Yeah, it must have been. Yes. And those are learnings you've taken on for future issues, you know.
Yes, surely. Definitely. You know, I learned so much just from that one session, and it was just 5 pages. And the crazy thing is that after the call, he told me to send in the next book because I was looking on book two.
Yeah,
and one day after 3 months after sending him the of book two, and he just suddenly just emailed me and said that, okay, let's get on a call. I've got some things I want to go to. And he actually went through the entire issue of book two with me, you know. I totally did not expect that. And it was just crazy.
No, he's definitely one of the good guys, isn't he? Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I mean, it was like 24 pages that he went through with me, you know.
So he called it a monster.
I mean, I've sent in the rest.
Yeah.
I've sent in the rest and he hasn't replied, but I don't blame him at all.
What did you say, Dan?
I said I doubt you could even buy that experience.
Yes, Daniel Warren Johnson.
a portfolio review. That's
but
amazing.
I feel so bad. Can I pay you or something?
Yeah, and you can. You do. I mean, you see as the issues go on. I mean, we say with every issue, an artist's confidence grows. You know, you're just constantly doing the things over and over, and you can see it as the. And it's almost fitting, really, with this series that you've got. That you, what started off as I just want to do a cool fight between two people, becomes becomes a character, which then becomes a backstory, which then
and it's
the universe is almost, the mini universe is growing with each issue as well.
The growth. The growth isn't just in the art for me, dude. It's in for the narrative and the dialogue and the structure and everything. You've really grown into it, haven't you? You know.
Yeah, I think it really comes down to practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you guys said, right?
Yeah. I mean, one thing I do need to ask you is, do you have a list of all of the mad, brilliant, and awesome kung fu names that you're using? Because they, when you say there aren't many comics that make you laugh, some of the moves that they use in this comic have made me laugh out loud.
Oh, that's great. That's great to hear. Okay, I don't have a prepared list before I start, but I plan to do a glossary of terms when I come out with the trade paperback for all the books.
I definitely want a copy of that trade paperback, man. Yeah, definitely.
I'm trying my best to get it out as soon as possible. Yeah.
No pressure.
The names are just sometimes they're just like sudden inspiration, or I will leave it to the last part of the book where I'm cleared of all the artwork and all the writing, and I just clear my mind to think of like some crazy names, you know, remember Scorpion McPriest, you know, stuff like that. No. You know, they it just happens, you know, and I think some work and some don't, but and some names they I already thought of it way before writing the book, so yeah, it could be anything. Yeah,
but you also include like the typography of them saying when they do like their special attack, that's worked in with the action, so it's not like splashed on the top. It's considered and I think that really, really works. I love it when artists do that.
You guys familiar with Marvel versus Capcom, the video game?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the main inspiration for that. Like, when the character is doing their ultimate move, the giant words appear on the screen. Like, Spider-Man is Maximum Spider. You know, like War Machine is Proton Cannon. You know, the words just like blast in your face.
Yeah.
So the idea for this comic was like, there's this accepted in-universe narration voice that they're not actually shouting out the move names. Nah. If you notice that sometimes their mouths are closed, but there's this like in-universe narrator that always appears when they perform their move, you know.
It's like, I'm just looking at one page here. It's almost like, from issue two, which is one of my favourites, the organ rearranger. And it's just a guy punching him in the stomach. And you can hear, in my head, I can hear someone going, organ rearranger. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. But the thing is, it's not him saying that. There's just this weird voice that appears from nowhere.
Is this something you've ever pitched, Edison? Have you? Because I can see companies snapping this up, man.
I pitched to Scout Comics. Back when I only had issue one, so I think they asked for more. Do I have more stuff? And then I sent them like the first few pages of issue two, but then they didn't get back to me.
Right.
And
You've built up.
I sent in a few pictures. I sent it to Alterna.
He gets an awful lot of pitches, doesn't he? I think he gets like 50 a month.
For sure. Mm.
Whoa.
Yeah. I was never expecting it to get picked up.
I mean, yeah. I can see it with Boom or Oni to me. They're a kind of.
Oh, I wish. I checked the Oni Press website for their submissions, and they're like, "Oh, sorry, we're closed."
Okay, right.
But I guess that wasn't the main goal of this comic. I guess
I think it's very clear you're doing it because you're really enjoying doing this, and you're loving doing it. And I will say, you are churning out this comic.
Yeah.
I mean, when did issue one actually come out?
Okay, so I started working on issue one in the middle of June, and I finished everything, and I think I released it on the 1st of August last year.
Good stuff, man. Yeah. That's what I like to see.
Did you say last year? Are we talking 2020? Yeah. Right. Issue one, August 2020, he's just released issue five.
February 2021. Yeah, that's good going, man. Yeah. Brendan, one, there's some Kickstarters I've been waiting 3 years for. I admire your work ethic, my friend. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to make it in the industry, right? So the advice is always you got to be fast. You know, you have to turn out the work on time. Mm. And I mean, I guess that's one of the things that I've been trying to force myself to keep to. And also somehow I got a very good personal like discipline to keep to a deadline. So maybe when it's coming to the end of the month, you know, I get into like a frenzy. You know, I can just like, and sometimes people like to say, oh, you're so talented, and oh, you can do this and do that. I'll say it's all practice, and the only talent I have is being able to sit down for hours without moving.
So it's like a learned muscle memory and that sort of thing. It's got a real flow to it, man. Really, I tell you what, we read a bunch of comics every week. We read thousands of pages every week, and this is the most fun I've had in a comic for a while. There's a lovely flow to it. Yeah,
I'm just so thankful that you guys found it, because seriously, there are like a handful of people who actually show any response or interest to this comic.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
For us small places, get in front of people, isn't it? That's the battle.
And I think the thing is, a lot of these companies have a huge. I work for a comic company, and we've got 18 months of comics laid out already. So to get something that would interrupt that, or jump into the middle of it, or even be at the end of it, is quite a battle, because we already work with a number of creators, and we have a limited amount of spaces. You know,
Exactly.
I think you just got to be aware of that. There's no big multi-billion comic industry anymore.
That's why I said it wasn't the main goal to get published. I just wanted to finish doing something, and I kind of got carried away. it started out as a one shot, and then I was thinking, okay, maybe I'll do like a trilogy, you know, like three issues. And when I did three, I was like, maybe four is like a nice arc, you know, like one volume is four issues or something. Then I was thinking, maybe six will be good, you know. It just kept going on and on. And now I'm thinking, like, I want to just end volume one at issue six, and then maybe volume two will be another six issues, so 12. Then there'll be a nice end.
Have you ever considered pitching to the French and Belgian market? Because I could see this as a big, oversized album book, you know, like the Dargards of this world and these sort of people.
No, I haven't thought about that. I'm not too familiar with that world yet.
Yeah, it's a bit. We don't understand it from the West, really. I suppose from English speaking countries. But we've been dipping our toe into it for now for what, 4 years, I suppose, boys. It's huge. It's bigger than the American market. You know, it really is.
Yeah.
Mm. I've heard like Uncle M and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, I love Uncle M. Well, you say Asterix. Well, Asterix is a Dargard book. You know.
Yeah.
The styles are a bit different, though.
What's that, sorry?
The European style is a bit more... it's quite different. There are lots of panels, lots of...
It's often a bigger format, but I think they're kind of... They're changing a little bit. They're, you know... They're just looking for good work.
Yes, some of them are getting a little more Americanized, is a bit of a crude way to put it, but there are some sort of European books that are looking more like the sort of stuff we see in the States, or aren't they? You see, there's a few titles that pop up. And then, and to be fair, they're normally the titles that jump out to me the most sometimes. But I mean, but so this is going to be 6 issues in total to begin with. Obviously, because it sounds like you're going to do like a 200 issue epic from the sounds of it, because you're just getting carried away. I think that's great, because you know you're already well on track.
Yep.
Like I say, as we speak, folks, issue 5 is hot off the press. It's available digitally. You do actually have print copies as well, though, don't you?
Yes. Actually, I have a shop now. I managed to find a printer in Singapore that I can do some print on demand work, and so I don't have to do like 100 or 200 copy run and stuff like that. So
what's the shop, dude? What's the web address of the shop?
You can find it. Kofi, are you guys familiar with Kofi?
Kofi.
I don't even know how to pronounce it. It's kind of like Patreon, but you can do one-time donations and stuff. Yeah, so it's kofi.com/neocomicart. Yeah, Neocomic. And you can find it on my website as well. Yeah,
oh, brilliant.
Neocomicart.com.
Don't be surprised that when you've finished this 6 issues, but I wouldn't be surprised if people are trying to get you to do some pages for their indie books.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I hope so.
That's
the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They always say, didn't they, like, you create a comic to show that you can do it before, like, this is a great for that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great example. Yep. You know, and you're enjoying doing it, I think, which shows in the pages. And you clearly enjoy fights in comics, which is always good.
The fact you're doing it all yourself as well, is, mate, that's like such a big achievement. You're not just doing you're putting all these issues out. You're not just doing the pencils of the inks. Every part of that comic is done by yourself.
Every part of it. Every part of it.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me.
And it's also on Comixology as well, isn't it, dude? Is that right?
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Which is where we discovered it.
So thankful for that.
Yeah. Well, no, we're thankful for the comic, because it's just in this day and age, sometimes comics have just got to be fun. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, that was my goal when I set out. I mean, when is the last time you actually had fun reading a comic? I mean, a comic they used to call it the funny books, you know, the funny papers. Now it's too serious. It's so like introspective and so many like deconstructions and themes and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
I just wanted to do something fun, you know. And purely this was done so that I could read it, you know. I just wanted to do something that I wanted to read, you know.
Yeah.
And that was the main goal.
And that's how you, to be honest, that's how you succeed at comics, I think. When people are making comics that they want to read, then do you know what I mean?
If you make a comic to something like this, everyone's going to love this and this will go down well. It's like zombies are really popular at the moment. I'll do a zombie comic. I think you're setting yourself up for failure, because by the time that comes out, and you have no passion in what you're doing because you're doing it the wrong reasons. And people will get that.
And I think sometimes you have people who are like, oh, I really want to create a comic about this, but nothing really exists. Like, you know, there's no comics about it. Oh, what if no one likes it? Trust us, people. There's an audience of people that are like, where is the comic about this thing? No one's making a comic about this thing. And that's probably the comic that you want to make.
Tanya Tate, for example. That's a good example of that.
Every time it's filth, Tony. Every time it's filth.
It's a bit of a highbrow subject, but I was reading something about
here we go.
The constant insertion of political themes into entertainment.
We
won't discuss it, but essentially they were saying by constantly putting politics in entertainment stuff, it sort of detracts from the actual politics and the proper discussion of it, because you start talking about a serious issue, and then someone say, "Oh, it's like Joe Podson, Lord of the Rings."
Deadpool. Yeah, it's like that. Yeah.
And like, can we get a serious discussion on the subject without it being sort of referred to? You know,
yeah.
I'm not sure.
You're not going to find it in Snake Class.
Good man.
Someone wants to start building a wall. That's a really old joke. That's so.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say now.
No. All you'll find in Edison's books is someone kicking the shit out of someone.
All for that.
Yeah.
I mean, we are brainless.
Yeah.
Brainless. I mean, even if you can't read English, I think you can understand what's going on in the comic.
Yeah. Yeah.
The action style of like manga and anime seems to be taking more of a foothold in comics, Western comics,
mm-hmm.
perhaps. Because I see that more and more all the time now.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's so effective, you know. Like action in manga is so intense, it's so fast, and you can feel the motion. It's so dynamic, mm-hmm. and I think. Yeah, I mean, if it can be incorporated into Western comics, why not? You know.
Yeah, when influences from any side of the world merge together.
To be fair, it's been a while. I mean, Frank Miller was taking, you know, note from manga.
Yeah.
In the early 80s, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Let's face it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, there's a lot more of the use of like where like one or two artists have been influenced by it, but now it seems to be like a lot of people.
There's a definite style, isn't there? Even in Marvel comics and stuff like that, you see it in some of the issues, don't you? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of nice because it's really a merger of both styles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think like people like Daniel Warren Johnson and James Herron, you know.
Yeah, good shout.
Combine both. Yeah. They do it so well, you know.
Yeah. And there's so many different styles of like fights that, you know, and certainly with different artists, we all pick up certain. There's one panel where I really like the way they did the connect, you know, how that fist connected with that face. I'm going to steal that. I'll probably steal some ideas from it in the future. I think Trad Moore is one of the most kinetic.
Oh yes.
I mean, I know his Silver Surfer was crazy. Psychedelic album cover. But for me, the Luther Strode books,
fucking awesome.
That was a revelation of brutality, absolute brutality.
And it's really tight as well.
Yeah.
It's really detailed it's crazy.
Yeah, he's not afraid to draw someone kind of without skin, because sometimes some of the panels, if I remember correctly, it's been a while since I read it, it sort of cuts away to the muscles of a person.
The training they can see. Again, that's reading a book. They read a book, don't they?
Of course he reads a book, and then it turns him into
super martial arts. They can see like the weak points on people, the muscle fibers, and kind of back in the old how to draw comics the Marvel way, and I don't know if you remember the illustration. There's a picture of like a figure punching, and they push it to extremes, and either end of the extreme was like, this is what we want, and the one in the middle where he's kind of like half-heartedly throwing a punch, it's like, oh, you don't want that, that's not the Marvel way. And then when I look at kind of like the manga and anime stuff, and they're pushing it beyond what they've set out in their book, so that's what you want to go for, like the hyper extension and the hyper movement and kinetic energy. And if you can get that in the comic, surely that's what everyone wants to strive for.
Yeah. It's got to have impact, hasn't it? Which brings us into, we put a post out on the Twitter for just sort of saying, what are your favorite fight scenes in comics? And the beautiful thing about a thread like this is people will post up pages. They will post up scenes and stuff. So, you know, literally go to our Twitter, and it's the comment that just starts with ding ding, because I'm a nerd. And we had lots of responses. Jay Martin says, I do love a Wolverine fight. Wolverine versus, I think that a lot of people say that Wolverine fights are probably a lot of people's favorite in some ways. Wolverine versus X-23. She cuts him and then uses dirt to stop him healing. Ooh, God.
Oh, God. I've never. Not seen that one.
Oh, God. And then he's got Wolverine and a random guard from Havoc and Wolverine Meltdown, and Gambit blowing Logan's head up. Are all highlights for me. And certainly there's different styles of artwork, but all brilliant pages. And I think for a lot of people, Wolverine and has been the action go-to for a lot of people, haven't they, really? Certainly with the superhero comics, because, you know, he's not throwing batarangs, or he hasn't got laser vision or anything. He has to get in close to do what he's got to do. So you can't avoid it. That comic smell, they said Black Sad.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
If there was ever a comics masterclass, let's call it a masterclass.
Yeah.
It's Black Sad. I read that for the first time this week, and it's the most beautiful thing I've read for years. Amazing.
Yeah. What? Which one? Because there's several books. Have you read all of them?
I read them all. I read them all this week, yeah.
I've only got the first one. I'm desperate to get the others.
Because fucking
they
hell.
They make you cry because they're so beautiful. Have you read any Black Sad, Edison?
No, I'm seeing this for the first time, and it's one of those books where, like, how have I not seen this?
Yes, exactly. The same thing. He manages to show
I
so
have
much.
To check this out now.
Yeah. He manages to show so much character in a face, and it's a fucking animal. And there's a lot of artists out there who can't show that in a human face. Never mind. Do you know what I mean? It's like that.
Yeah.
Very good podcast on it recently, Edison. I like one out.
Was that one of yours, Tony?
Yes.
I wish you should all check
Tony,
out.
You're right. I say, Tony, you define yourself as a podcaster, don't you?
Well, I'm more of a person who talks into a mic. I think I'd shy away from podcast label.
And that's a microphone, not someone called Mike. that comic smell, Black Sad, they said the sheer movement is phenomenal. You can feel all of the weight and power behind each character, which is, I think, important. I think we've touched on it a bit, but like Dan says, sometimes you can't feel the fight. The panels and the pages
got to show weight.
Yeah,
we talked about this when we did the comic page thing, didn't we?
Yeah,
you've got to show the weight of a punch and the weight of a move and stuff. Yeah,
and even the weight of someone hitting the ground after they've been hit is very, very important. I think you have to think of all of the stages. You have to think of the build up to the hit itself, and then the reaction, don't you?
I think there's all kinds of ways to do a fight, isn't there? Because sometimes, if anyone who's ever been in a fight, they know it's not the real, it's not what you see in movies, it's not what you see in comics, let's face it, is it?
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
It's a whole different ball game.
It's a showy thing. You're kind of, it's a fantasy, isn't it?
Like,
yeah.
I mean, a roundhouse kick looks gorgeous, but it will probably get you killed if you try doing it in a lot of fights.
And let's face it, probably miss.
The amount of times you see, like, I've been watching sort of reaction videos with, like, stuntmen talking about, like, you know, fight scenes in films, and that's been fascinating because they just point out, why is he doing a roundhouse kick there? There's absolutely no point.
There's very little point in a roundhouse kick. If you're going to kick someone, kick them. If your kick involves you turning your back on them, you're going to get mullered. I've got to tell you.
But in comics, you don't have to worry about that, do you?
Exactly.
Matt Simmons at Sheriff Freak. The first one that always comes to mind for me is Elektra versus Bullseye. It's got a simple layout and clear flow, but looks really cool. Very true. Who was it?
Miller. Frank Miller. Yeah. But there's a lot of... He does what we talked about earlier, Edison, is I think in a lot of those early Daredevils, he shows a fight from punch to punch.
Mm.
And that's what I want to see. I want to see the choreography. It's not a dance, but kind of the dance of a fight. We don't see that enough, but you do that, man. That's why I liked it so much. I think that's why people like...
I mean, he was just one of the... one of the first few who actually choreographed the fights in comics, right? If I'm not wrong, like...
I think we had Gallacy. I mean, there's a few people for him, but one of my favorites is Paul Gallacy, obviously, master of kung fu. He actually used the panel structure to divide movement and flow and everything, and it just masterclass. I think Zek did it. I think Gene Day did it. I think, and I tell you, I tell you, I was reading along with Johnny Cannon the other day, and we read the Nexus Badger crossover, and I was reminded how often the Badger comics did it. And to show
a lot that, of that is about martial arts, isn't it? Badger's
yeah,
martial artist, isn't
yeah.
he?
He's a martial artist in one of his personalities, because he's got 9 personalities. But yeah, that's an amazing comic.
Yeah. Another one, I knew Chris Imber would have an opinion, and he's good at fights as well. None Better, Invincible and Conquest. Now, this is something, I mean, I knew Invincible was going to come up because, and Dan, you can speak to this.
Yeah, the Invincible Conquest fight was fucking amazing.
Is that an entire issue dedicated to that sort of brutality?
Yeah. The lead character, Mark, gets both his arms broken, and he has to headbutt him.
I mean, the panel that Chris has posted on the Twitter feed, like, Conquest is literally pushing his fist through Invincible. It's graphic, people. It's not necessarily safe for work, but then again, the Invincible...
Neither are we.
Yeah, the Invincible...
They do set up that villain, and, like, the fact that they send, like, this is the guy they send out when they want to kill someone. He don't fuck about, and he comes along and he doesn't fuck about. He absolutely fucking terrorizes them. For the villain to have like that, also the weight of like fucking hell, this guy's an opponent. It's not just going to be, here's a bit of a fight at the end of the issue, he's won. There's a real kind of threat of he might not fucking win this. It was great.
Yeah, that's what you need in a fight. It can't be, you know.
Yeah.
Is Thrag versus Battle Beast, which Zach Cobb mentions, is that an Invincible fight?
That is, that's great little thing that Kirkman did, that he had the Battle Beast character who was absolutely unbeatable in the entire comic. Everyone he come across, the hero, everyone he beat. And then at the end, the good guys set Battle Beast onto Thrag, and there's a big fight over the entire issue. He keeps coming back to this fight, and in the end, he's wearing Battle Beast as a cape, his skin, because he's unbeatable. And it's like, this fucking dude, the main bad guy, is the fucking legit. He's the top boy.
Yeah.
So when he was identifying heroes, it was like bloody hell.
Yeah.
So you're building people up, but that's what a lot of good martial arts comics and martial arts of any, you know, does, doesn't it? Mm. You know, you have to build it up. Even like Rocky, you know, you have to believe, you know, Clubber Lang is that dude. But to make the movie fun, you know, to make the movie interesting, to make it tense. Yeah, that's exactly what I mentioned that on the Facebook page.
I think there's the problem with, like, if your hero's going around just beating everyone absolutely effortlessly, it becomes absolutely boring. What's the point? Yeah. No one wants to read a story about someone who doesn't struggle or doesn't... You read for the struggle, you don't read for the...
And it's certainly, Edison, what you do with Snake Claws as well, you're doing this sort of thing, but it's the bad guy we're following.
I think there was the... That's the fun part, actually.
Yeah, it's more fun to write a bastard. We've got a few more. I'll just quickly rush through. David Miloski of A Place to Hang Your Cape. He said, "I always liked Daredevil versus Echo in the playground. Poorly recreated in the film, but much better in the comic." God, I remember that. That was David Mack.
There's a lot of mentions on the Facebook page for the Batman Guy Gardner one punch fight.
Oh yeah, I purposely didn't, that was one of the reasons I didn't post that, because I think I've posted it before, so I kept that off.
I
think that fight, the Daredevil fight, was a filler episode. I think the artist couldn't do it on that issue, so they basically like just spanned that entire fight out to fill
really?
An issue. I think so. I'm more than happy to be corrected on that.
I can quite easily believe that it is one of those happy sort of accidents, really. Because there's nothing wrong with a fight and an issue. John Tucker, he points out Fight Gang by Casey Green, which is obviously one of John's favorite comics.
I'm not familiar with that.
It's one of Casey Green's stuff. Part of the Gun Show comic, yeah. And he's put a link in the thread, which is quite handy, John. Thank you very much.
Sam Rhodes mentions basically anything with a fight in Lone Wolf and Cub. I think he's right there.
Yeah.
It's a classic.
Sione Boy on Twitter said, "The first comic I bought, I was 10 years old, and the cover is Death's Head, number 10, where Iron Man 2099 is holding a Death's Head's head. And That's a suit I never liked, Iron Man 2099, but we'll talk about that at another point.
Yeah. The one that Stuart Mulray mentioned, and one we haven't mentioned, I'm surprised actually, is the Superman versus Doomsday fight in the Death of Superman, which is, that does keep you guessing, doesn't it? You don't know what's going to happen there.
It's long, that one, or six, I can't recall.
I can't remember. It's the one that goes from, it keeps going to one, and it ends up with one panel a page, doesn't it?
Yeah. It starts with like six, then goes 5-4, and then to one.
And that's them stomping the fuck out of each other every, you know.
Yeah.
Which is good. Daniel Banks said, haven't got an image. Oh, well, he found the image, but the fight in Rucker and Lark's Lazarus number 15 is fantastic. If you haven't read it yet, read the whole series too.
That's a good run. I've only read the first two trades. I need to catch up on that.
He did post up a page of it, which is very much, you know, each panel is a moment. Do you know what I mean? It is. You can, like we're saying, there's a punch and then there's a response and then you're seeing all that. Dave Robertson, Hulk by Lee and Kirkby. What a surprise. What a surprise, Dave, saying that. Although he's not wrong, it's brilliant. And William Hazel says old school Kirby, and he's got some...
A
Batroc versus Cap page,
still,
isn't it?
Still peerless, in my opinion.
It is that one page, isn't it? One page fight.
Yeah, that's the reason they have that fight in the Captain America movie, is in due respect to the Kirby just fucking flooring everyone with that fight.
Even
though he doesn't use the techniques that what Kirby had at the time, they're absolutely, like you said, they're fucking peerless. So well done. The energy and athleticism in it.
The bombasticness of it as well. And you can see that you can see the straight line from that to Invincible almost, you know?
That
power. Yeah.
Russell Mark Olsen, Wade and Samley's Daredevil number 25. I mean, it's Chris Samley, so I can pretty much know that.
Yeah.
Kyla Merrill, of Foreign Press Comics, the entirety of issue 5 of Moon Knight by Warren Ellis and Declan Shalvey, a full issue full of perfect comic book action. I haven't seen this, but he posts up a page that looks lovely, so I need to check
that's a lovely series. That's I bought you that, Dan, didn't I? Did I buy you the trade of that?
Yeah, because I already had I had a trade, I think.
Blank on that. You must. Well,
yeah,
you did,
it's Moon Knight in like the suit, isn't it?
Warren Ellis one.
And two more. Dave Hingley shows a classic, and it's just the panel of Judge Dredd punching one of the
Fist of Dredd. Yeah,
yeah. Gazing into the Fist of Dredd.
Matthew Bunce mentions that in a conversation with Pete Watson on the Facebook page. Actually,
I mean that's a spectacular moment. One of the classics. And the last one, and I just have a little discussion about this. Sean Craik art says, for fight scenes, manga does it the best. Best examples are Battle Angel Alita, Terraformers, Vagabond, Basilisk, Colosseum, Gantz, and even Stravaganza. Lots of titles that I know nothing about, or although I may have heard although I've heard of a lot of them, and I know Gantz is even
Gantz
and Alita, of course. So there's some more. Of course, there's all of our manga listeners that are going, you don't know about that. No, we don't. We don't yet.
I'll say Dragon Ball is in the mix too.
Yeah. In fact, that's probably been a huge influence on a whole generation of artists.
All these mangas. Yeah, I'm sure they're inspired by that.
And they're very much sort of like just 40 pages for a fight. Aren't they really?
I keep trying my brothers. I keep trying my manga. I keep giving it a go.
Yeah, I think sometimes like
that's when you get into that. That's like Conan with like a real dark edge to it. I'm sure you'd love it.
Okay.
What? Dragon Ball?
Berserk.
Berserk. Yeah. Oh yeah, Berserk.
Oh yeah, I read the first trade, didn't I? I liked it.
Fucked up.
Didn't you send me it, Vince? Somebody sent me.
I think Dan sent it.
Because
he sent me a couple of volumes, and that's how I got into it. It's crazy, crazy good stuff. All of this, and then of course you got like the classics, Fist of the North Star, which for me, when I was the animated films, where I discovered that series, but it also carries the same story plot point of an unbelievable, invincible martial artist walking across a world. People start on him. And then he just does the, and then just like 1,000 punches, doesn't he? And they go, ha, 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 and then their head explodes.
I think worthy of mention away from manga as well is the Hong Kong scene. So you've got like Jade Man comics and that sort of thing. They were fucking nutty brilliant.
Which ones were they?
Jade Man comics.
I don't think you're familiar with them.
I think I'll send you a picture of... Go on, Edison.
It's really huge in Hong Kong, actually.
Yeah. There's some on Comic House. Yeah. What's the one?
I know.
There's
something for... Yeah.
That's it.
What's it called on the Comic House? Something boy.
But you can find it on Comic House.
Look it up and then send me a Twitter or something. I bought a load on eBay.
I bought a load of Jade Man comics on eBay and they're like 1,000 ideas on one page. They're like that.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
I've got a couple of trades to them actually. There's one like the King Lion or something. That's again about like an unbeatable martial artist, and they do the same thing when they kind of, everyone's got like special techniques, and when they do that special technique, it comes up in the calligraphy of what it is. And
Fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah. There's so much.
Oriental heroes.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to go to Soho to go and buy them in the original language when I was a kid.
Nice.
Yeah, good.
Just for the art, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. And the peep shows that were around there.
Oh, there's an origin story.
Yeah. I was tall for my age.
Yeah. I mean, I think what I like about seeing that list and seeing people's, it's just the quickness and the ease to which people go, this fight, I've always liked this. And I think that speaks volumes to how impactful, pardon the pun, a good like fight can be in comics. You know, a good one-on-one, close quarters fight sticks with you, even if it's, you know. And it's for me, it's always a bit more fun when it's not just a one punch sort of knockout. Yeah. Although the one punch moments that they have,
it works occasionally. Yeah. It's just, it becomes a little bit boring after a while, but it works fine occasionally, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although One Punch Man has made an entire series.
Yeah. Including the name.
Yeah.
It's
interesting. They have to shift away from the character, and like they tell stories of people around him, because obviously it's a bit of a joke in the fact that he can beat absolutely anyone with one strike.
Yeah.
So focuses on like villains or his sidekicks or other people in like the Hero Association.
Yeah.
It's funny that like at one point, like kind of the East really kind of turned their back on superheroes. They just didn't want anything to do with it. And now some of the big properties, superhero comics.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like they could get off the ground like Marvel and DC too much, but then now they've got One Punch Man, My Hero Academia. I guess it's the presentation of the idea and how well it goes.
Yeah, it's true.
I'll even say that actually martial artists, I mean, in martial arts, they are actually just superheroes, you know.
They're
just another form of superheroes. Like, I mean, if I can talk about this, right, there's this Chinese legend about the eight immortals. I don't know whether you've heard. And they are basically the Avengers. they have their own weapons and their own skills, and they all join together to beat some evil force. You know, it's kind of the same thing. You know, do you guys know of the Monkey King?
Love Monkey King. Yeah. Love it. Yeah.
Journey to the West. Yeah, I mean, he has all kinds of powers. I mean, he's a bit too overpowered.
It was a big TV series over here during the 70s and 80s. Got it. We love it, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Well, I think I know which one you're talking
the original,
about.
Sorry, the original live action one, you know.
From China,
that and the Water Margin, we had them both at the same time, and they were both big over here. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, Monkey was absolutely insane. Overpowered.
Yeah. I mean, growing up as kids, all of us just thought he's the best, you know, like the coolest. I mean, he's better than Superman, basically.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, and that's sometimes like, you know, for a lot of people, certainly with like Western comics or Western heroes and stuff, and who don't look outside their bubble, they don't discover these amazing characters from all over the world, you know. I mean, we got them. I mean, I remember seeing reruns of that TV show, Tony, and like, you know, watch.
I've watched it since on YouTube, and it's still fun. I remember that was the only cosplayer I've ever liked in my life. Edison was a monkey cosplayer.
I must say, with this sort of advance of like digital effects and things like that in martial arts movies, certainly over the past couple of decades, there's been a resurgence of like the Monkey King being in like movies as well, hasn't he? So it's certainly come back.
Gorillaz did a version of it, didn't they? Didn't the Gorillaz band, didn't they do a version of the Monkey King, like a cartoon thing?
Mm-hmm. Oh, did they?
He got commissioned the artist to do something. Was it with the BBC?
Was it Jamie Hewlett?
For the Olympics. A small animation or something.
Right.
Like, pulling from the depths of my pre-COVID brain.
the pre-COVID, no pre-COVID brain. We all know that.
The world before.
The world before. World. Well, you know, who knows? When people discover this episode... in about 10 years, they'll be all like, "What are they talking about? What is this COVID?" We can all hope, anyway. But what you're learning from this episode is that don't go around fighting people in real life, but certainly make comics about it because we want to read them and they're amazing.
Leave the violence in the comics, not in real life.
There you go. I mean, you can't say it better than that, can you? Leave the comics on the pages. Leave the violence on the pages, people. I ruined your quote by doing the same like that. I'm ever so sorry.
It's good.
But this is, I mean, this has been a fun chat. I mean, certainly just, it's been good to talk about just some fun comic action. So thank you very much, Edison, for all this. And like, seriously,
thank you guys.
We love the book, man. We really do love the book.
I've just ordered it from you, so I love it.
Nice.
Thank you.
We'd be amiss if we didn't mention Kung Fu.
What's that, mate? Sorry,
Cockney Kung Fu.
Oh, Cockney Kung Fu. Yeah. You love Kung Fu so much. You put martial arts in your books as well, didn't you, Tony?
Yeah, I did. But are you aware of what being a Cockney means?
No.
So if you were born in East London within the sound of a certain church, within the sound of their bells, that makes you a Cockney. All the sort of geezers you see on television in The Long Good Friday and all these sort of things, you know, Snatch and Lock Stock, they're all wannabe Cockneys. And so I decided that there was a style of Kung Fu that was originated in the East End of London. Because the east end of London is a really interesting area. It at one point, because it's right where the docks were, so it became an area where people from other countries would settle. So for a while it was Chinese, and before that it was Jewish, and then after that it's Pakistani, Bangladesh, and that sort of thing. So there is a little culture of Chinese people there, and that was my idea, is it grew out of that, and it was a sort of street fight style.
Yeah, it's definitely a new setting that we don't really see martial arts in.
Yeah.
That'll be fresh.
I'll send you a copy of it, man. I'll send you a copy.
Yeah, for sure. Nice.
But where can people find Snake Claws to read? It's available on different places, but you got your website and everything. So where can people find all the issues?
Okay. So, mainly on my website, which is neocomicart.com. So all the issues are free to read right now on my website. And on each issue, on each page, at the top of the page and the bottom, there are links to the digital version, the physical version, and the Comixology version. So
nice.
I guess these are the main places that you can get it from. So I used to do drive-through comics print-on-demand, but they told me that they had to change, so they don't do saddle stitch booklets anymore. So I kind of have to abandon that the avenue. I'm just gonna, but in a way it's good, because I guess there's only one version of my comic now, which I'm printing here, and I actually have to put in the work to go and ship it out and package it and stuff like that. So you're
fully fledged independent comic creator now. Once you've got to ship stuff out to people.
You know. that trip to the post office. Yep.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Just finding out the cost of shipping and getting the packaging. Oh my gosh. Yeah, but I was kind of glad actually when I posted up the book and there were no orders and I was like, okay, I don't have to do any work. Now.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, thank God, no orders today. Yeah. I'm a bit worried because there's quite a bit of sexual chemistry between me and the woman in the post office, the old lady who works behind the counter. So,
yeah, you have to be careful with your visit over there.
Yeah.
Don't make it too often.
She says to me, can you put it on the scales? Yeah, baby, I'll put it on the scales for you.
Oh, God.
A big package to them, et cetera.
Yeah, balls too.
Oh, dear God. Thank God we've got the decent part of the show out of the way. I knew
he's all right, Fred. I said he's just come back from a party.
Yeah, I know. Look, all our listeners are going to consider you to be a party animal. You just have to deal with that.
Yeah.
But where can they find you on social media and stuff if they want to follow your art?
So basically everything is tied to the name Neo Comic Art. And so the website is neocomicart.com, and then there's on Twitter is Neo Comic Art, and on Instagram is the same handle, Neo Comic Art. And yeah, so I guess I'm more active on Instagram, but it is because on Twitter I have like what 80 followers or something. So
yeah, it's quite hard to shout into that void sometimes, isn't it? And you're never quite sure who's really listening.
Yeah, but I guess I didn't really focus on Twitter much at the start.
Mm.
Yeah, so so Instagram, Twitter. Yeah, feel free to drop me a message or give me a follow or stuff like that. Yeah. But I mean, if any of you want to talk about comics or like Snake Claws or any martial or whatever that has to do with comics, you know, just drop me a message.
You've opened the door there, my friend.
Sure, I mean, it's an empty room. There's no one around.
Oh, dude. Well, after this episode, that will change because you've been an absolute legend. Yeah. And Edison's sticking with us for the rest of this show. And he's going to recommend something to you all as well. Sure. But before then, we've got a couple of shout outs this week, don't we, gents?
Yep. Shall I start?
Yeah, go for it.
So we've got the Taybridge Disaster is new on Kickstarter. It's a comic that uses the comics medium to investigate the a series of historic events in Scotland near to Dundee. It's also created by our buddy Dave Robertson. Go on to Kickstarter, look for the Taybridge Disaster. I backed it. It's really interesting, and it's a bit of a passion project of Dave's. This Friday is the next Drink and Draw. 7:30 p.m. Yes. It's usually a proper good laugh. If you go to @thischucklehead on Twitter, or if you're in our Facebook group, you'll be able to find the link. Pop along. You don't have to have any skills whatsoever in drawing. I'm there and I can't draw. And we just come along and have a chat about different artists, how we're working. We if you want to, you can share what you're doing. It's good fun.
Kicks off 7:30 GMT. Is that the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, so but it's welcome. You know, if anyone can make it at that time, feel free to pop along. We have people from all over the world joining us. So, please be one of those people.
I've got a couple more. So, Unraveling is the upcoming new map from Colossive Press. I'm a fan of their work. I try and buy the little bundles of maps they do. There's a few of our buddies who've done them in the past, but Sarah Harris has got one coming out. It's called Unraveling. Look out. www.colossive.com or follow Sarah at implausible17 on Twitter. Little personal shout out to Nora and Deanna, who have kept me sane this week in a week of high pressure work, and I thought I'd give them a shout out on the pod. So you go.
Oh, they're my ones.
Lovely.
I'm trying to find the details of the fucking draw off and I can't find it, so I don't know when that's due. So more on that later. I'll try and dig it up in the group, but essentially, we got the. Here we go. I bet that's tomorrow. Monday, the 1st of March.
That's tomorrow. That's today.
We're going to extend that week till the 8th. So if you're listening to that, don't panic, because there hasn't been too much activity on it. So I'm going to G it up a bit this week. We can maybe get people doing it on the draw, drink and draw on the Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that sound
good? That's a good shout. Yeah, that's a good shout, man. That's always good for that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always nice with a drink and draw to have stuff like that. And there you go. So I think that's all of our shout outs, apart from the ones that I'll forget about until we've finished recording, because that's always what happens. But now it's time to recommend some lovely books or whatever for you lovely people to check out. And as always, the guest goes first. Edison, what would you like to recommend our listeners check out?
I'm not sure if someone has recommended this before, but I really, really want to recommend Head Lopper.
Yes, maybe.
McLean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Head Lopper is how do I describe it? Okay, it's an adventure. how do I even start? Okay, it's about this guy. He's like a Viking, and he carries a head of a witch who I don't know whether he's a friend or foe, but they go back and forth, and it's quite funny. And they just go on this like adventure to kill some king or something. I totally forgot that part, but the main parts of it that are so interesting. Basically, every book starts off with a map. Every chapter starts off with a map, and you can see where they are on the map. And where they are traveling to next. Yeah, so it's very interesting. Like, so you kind of know what. So you look at the whole map, right, and you see the different areas, and you kind of already anticipate, oh, they might be going to this place, like the Black Fog, you know, the Silent Wood, you know, and stuff like that. So you kind of have that excitement, like, ooh, when are they going to get there, you know?
I love a map. You know when you sometimes see these open maps and you just name something like, you know, the Evil Woods, and you just think, well, what the fuck is in there? And then, you know, he could have created this map and had no idea what he was doing to begin with, but then it gives you options, doesn't it, to sort of tell stories. Oh, what's in this place?
It always reminds me of the Conan. There was always a map in the Savage Sword of Conan of the Hyborian Age, wasn't there? And Sumeria and Simarkinia and all these sort of places that were part of it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Headlopper is a huge Viking guy, and he's super strong and really powerful. So the first few pages, right? I mean, I'm looking at a book right now, but just to give a better description. He's just fighting this giant sea monster. He jumps right into the mouth of the sea monster, and in three panels you see him just slice off the head of the sea monster. And it's just so, the style is just so simple. The style is so clean. It's so clear what is going on. Mm. And yeah, it's so cartoony, and it's just so fun. It's just a big, like I was mentioning before, like, how comics should be fun, right? I mean, this is just pure fun.
And McLean's got such a great style. He's got such a and Headlopper certainly. It's almost become its own beast as well. I know he's made. He's done vinyl toys and stuff of like things like this, hasn't he?
Yeah,
he's got all kinds. And it's fantastic stuff.
I had a friend. I had a friend who I was talking about Headlopper, and he's like, "Oh, I'm into that as well." Yeah, I was like, do you read the comic? And he was like, oh, I don't really remember what happened in the comic, but I have this D&D dice set that was on Kickstarter and everything, and all Headlopper stuff. Yeah. So he was going to the and I think the art style is so interesting. I never thought I would be attracted to something like this, but it just works, you know.
It just works. I've got volume one. I need to get volume two because they're decent. Yeah. They're good, decent sized books as well, aren't they? When they collect them,
It's very hefty and it's a nice read. And I only finished volume one. I have two and three right beside me now, and I need to finish my stupid comic.
Oh, God, is there a three? Is there a three as well?
Yeah, there's a three.
Oh, fuck! I need to put that on my list.
And four, I think he's working on four right now.
Yeah. I think he does the classic image stuff. He does an arc, then he has a bit of a break. Does he have a bit of a break?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
He does it quarterly, if I'm not wrong. Yeah, I think each issue is like 30 something pages, and it comes out quarterly. Yeah.
Right, I get you. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of like he does four issues a year, and then he has a collection. Do you know what I mean? That's a good way of doing it. That Headlopper hasn't been mentioned for quite some time either. That's a good one. And popular with our listeners.
Yeah, it came up quite a while ago.
Yeah, but he's still going. Still going. I'm very popular. And I need to catch up.
It was under the category of, I can't believe I did not see this before. As usual.
Yeah.
That's where they go. So much out there, isn't there? So much noise. Yeah. You've got to cut through it and find what we love. Yeah.
And that's what this show's all about. Well, not noise, obviously. We're noisy. But,
and love.
Yeah, love. And comics. Yeah. So
I got two. Do you want me to do my shorter one?
Yeah, you want my first.
So my first one is only a quick one. It's Strangers Fanzine presents Dynamite Diva. Obviously, Eddie being a buddy of ours and a past guest. Dynamite Diva is... have you seen that? I put a review up of this week. Have you seen the cover of this? For anyone who's trying to imagine what it looks like, if they've seen Ryan Heschke's Mean Girls Pink Dawn or something like that, it's kind of where, I'm going to say, underground comics with an X bangs up against pulp heroes in a way, and maybe a bit of sort of film noir thrown in. I knew I'd going to love this when one of the first comments on one of the first pages is by this actress who's also shagging this gangster, and she's also having an affair with this gumshoe behind his back, you know, typical sort of film noir setup. And she says to the hero, the heroine, who is Dynamite Diva, who's this girl with slicked black short bobbed hair, an eye patch with a skull on it, and she's got probably, I've never seen a woman with stronger thighs in my life, which obviously I'm quite drawn to. And she says to her, something like, maybe I just need to keep clear of men. And I thought, right, okay, we're going to get some sexy fireworks now. It's going to go off now. And of course, then we get some quite hot lesbian action in it. And I thought, I'm in for the long run on this book. but they do the Beast of Two Backs and fall asleep, and in the heat of the night, and Dynamite Diva is asleep, and all around her this murder is going on where a bloke has broken in and killed Susan Schultz, and she wakes up and there's blood everywhere and this woman's been murdered, and she managed to sleep through all that, but they call in the local murder detective, who is called Detective Fist, which I kind of liked, aka Fist of Justice. And he kind of looks a little bit like something like the Green Hornet if he was a detective, and he wears one of those little masks like the Green Hornet has, but he's got sort of a yellow coat and a yellow hat, like a fedora hat, and he's kind of the cross between, I've described him as a piece of the cross between the Green Hornet and something out of Zap magazine, is that sort of craziness. And it's just lots and lots of pages of many, many panels. It's magazine format, it's pulpy paper. It's I think it's like $7.99 I bought it, of just fucking madness, of this sort of detective story and people getting it, their brains blown out and trying to solve it. And of course, everyone's, you know, if everyone knows who Chester Gould is, he's the Dick Tracy guy. I can imagine this is like an under, back in the days of Tijuana Bibles and all that sort of thing. This is almost like the Tijuana Bible version of Dick Tracy, where Chester Gould would have found a copy, you know, and he was one night, he decides to read it, and he turns his little lamp on by his chair, and he checks to see if Mrs. Gould is asleep and snoring. Yeah. And he thinks, oh, I might read this, Dynamite Diva. And he untucks his nightshirt, you know, and, it all goes off from there. But, the thing I like best about Strangers, the past stuff that Strangers put out, is it's really out there. They're really taking chances. It's fun. It doesn't take itself seriously, but there's a real style to this. And I have to say, it's by a guy called Jasper Jubenville. And follow him on Instagram at Jasper Jubenville. And he's really great. There's some stuff in here that you won't see anywhere else, and it's just soaked in black and white ink, and black and white images. He had a competition for some fan art, so you get a couple of pages of that. There's a pin-up in the back, and there's also we do this at Tribute, but there's like a page of fake adverts. And there's you can get introducing the most hardcore ring you can buy, 100% made of plastic, but it looks like silver. There's one of those. And there's like you can buy a sex pin-up of Dynamite Diva where she's got her tits out and that sort of thing. It's just totally on the nose and funny and brilliant. And yeah, this is issue 3, so I'm hoping there's more's going to come. But the runs you get from Strangers are actually quite limited. They don't tend to have like huge print runs. So if you can, you'll have to pay for shipping. I did, but it's worth it. So have a look at that one. There you go.
Okay.
Nice. What have you got, Dan?
3 quick rapid fire punches.
Oh my word!
New form. Some of the titles I read today on Comic House. The first one is the Monsters Cleanup Crew, Volume 1, Issue 1, by Snowy Works. And there's a whole slew of people who worked on this. But it's a nice little black and white comic. It's not very long. I think there's only like a dozen or so pages. And it deals with someone who has to manage a werewolf community living within a human one. And a crime happens and it all kind of spirals out of control. That's a nice little read. The second one I'm going to recommend is one called Wall Breakers, and that came onto the, as in 2020, that was published. And we were just talking about action and depicting action fighting in comics, and Wall Breakers has a good old crack at doing that and succeeds. George A. Zavellos does all the writing, art, and colouring duties on this one. Well worth checking out. And finally, one of the other ones I checked out was the issue 4 in Sam Webster's Autism Anxiety book.
Oh, I haven't read this yet. Yeah.
I've got to take my hat off to Sam because he's putting stuff down on page that I don't think I would reveal about myself. I think it takes guts and courage to do so.
I
don't know practically anything about autism, so when
I think there's a lot of fake. There's a lot of fake attention-seeking honesty out there. Do you know what I mean? I think to be actually honest, which is what comics has always catered to, I'm the same man. Hats off to him.
Yeah. This comes as absolutely real, absolutely as I just take my hat off to him kind of dealing with this and opening up and saying this is what I had to deal with and have dealt with in my life. And it was kind of very sad at moments reading through what Sam has got through. So top work. I recommend everyone check that out for a kind of a bit of an insight. And I'd like to see more from Sam on the subject.
That was
3 great ones, Dan. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
I was trying to do some, like a small press or Sankoff Comic House to kind of like put our focus in on what we're trying to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't want to
agreed.
Read the beat.
I'm going to recommend a series from Oni Press. I talked a bit about a way back, and it's called it's called Backtrack. And this is one of those series. Have you ever had one of those comics where you buy a couple of issues, you really enjoy it, and then it's in your to read pile, but you know, the time passes. What is time anymore? It's a weird concept. And before you realize it, it's got quite a few issues that have come out of it. And you're like, but then when you think about it, every single issue you read, you really, really enjoyed. So it's been nice to partly it was like, I must say, the digital price on some of the Oni books when they come out new was, I think, quite pricey.
Yeah.
I have since realised that it's got a lot more issues than I thought it had, and they are all on Comixology for £1.59 at the moment, which is, I think, a good price for a digital comic. I will say, it's one of those... I think Oni Press need to look at their prices for their digital collections. I haven't got them. The digital collection is £11.29, and that is... for 5 issues, so you could just buy the issues individually cheaper than you could the volume, which is nothing to do with the creators or anything. That's just, I think, publishers sometimes need to look at that when their books are available digitally. Do you know what I mean? Just to sort of tally up the costings. But backtrack itself, back to the book itself. I really, really love this book. I realised there was 10 issues, and I clicked on the buy instantly. So I've got another 4 issues left, and I think it's going to be.
That's when you check your emails, and you got loads of emails saying thank you for paying to Comixology.
Yep. And I'm looking forward to finishing off. I think it's going to be a 10 issue series. It feels like it has an ending coming, and I'm all the way up to issue 6, which I read recently. For those who don't know or can't remember it, basically the synopsis is, if you had a chance to fix a mistake from your past, would you take it? Alison Levy would. Guilt weighs heavy on former criminal wheelman Alison, who led an illicit life that left her shattered. Enter Casper Quellex, an eccentric businessman who offers her the break of a lifetime, a massive cross-country car race that grants the winner the opportunity to correct a single mistake in their life. But here's the catch.
Russ, I'll be racing all the time.
Well, the thing is, Tony, here's the catch. Each leg covers a different period in history. Just like that, Alison and the other drivers find themselves in a gut-wrenching race through time, contending with medieval warriors, dinosaurs, and natural disasters, where they quickly learn that they must band together to form any chance of survival. And the synopsis, it's basically a car race through history, and it's fucking awesome. It's awesome. I mean, they are literally, and it's modern cars as well. I mean, we talk about, like, one thing I got to give a shout out to this is it is a beautiful looking book as well. It's written and created by Brian Jones. That's Jones with an I. Hope I got that right, Brian. Illustrated by Jake Elphick, who I feel like I know that name from somewhere. And the artwork has a real... There's something about the artwork that I feel like I've seen it somewhere before. Coloured by Doug Garbark and lettered by Jim Campbell, former guest on the show. And we talk about kinetic and action and movement, and we haven't really focused on like vehicles or we haven't done an episode. I think we've touched on it occasionally. Like a good car chase is very difficult to do, and cars in, you know, when you see some pages that have cars on motorways or wherever, and it's just like a good fist fight, you remember when you see a good car chase in a comic, I think. And Backtrack is a brilliant example of that. There's a real feeling of motion all the way through it, as they're speeding through. And then when you've got these sports cars and a T-Rex comes out of nowhere and attacks one of them, you know you're in for good times. It's a good time comic. And, you know, whether it's they end up in... I think a war-torn country, and they jump about in time as well. They I think they land near Pompeii in one of the issues, just as the volcano goes off.
Ooh,
do you know what I mean?
Ooh, See, the thing is, I'd be quite happy to do that, to go through history, you know, to right or wrong. You know, I wouldn't mind dinosaurs or exploding volcanoes or anything. But if I had to go through an era with my first wife, I think then I'd avoid it.
take a left when you took a right, is that what you mean?
But
sliding door, but kind of like a yourself and your wife.
Are you married, Edison?
Oh no, I'm not.
Don't bother, my friend. Don't bother with that.
I won't be able to finish 6 issues in a few.
Exactly. Don't get married. I want the next issue.
Yeah. Right, no.
Everyone hope that Edison doesn't meet that special person because we want more comics from him.
Yeah. Oh God. on Backtrack, the one of the things I will say that, as well as all that classic carnage that you can only do in a comic book because a movie or anything else wouldn't be able to do it justice. And it is a brilliant example of that, is there's a cast of characters, you know. It's a brilliant example of like when you have a cannonball run or something like that, and you have like the different drivers that you get used to, all those brilliant action films that you see, like Predator, where we know it's all about Arnold, but we like all of the characters around him as well.
The problem with Cannonball Run, I love Cannonball Run as a kid, it was amazing, and then they ruined it by doing another film.
Yeah.
Check was a bit shabby.
That one's terrible, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jackie Chan, though. So
that's true. That is true.
Is that the one where one of the cars was had a different paint job that they washed off?
I can't remember, actually.
I remember being quite cool. Anyway, never mind that, because you need to get this series, because it is really good. There's going to be two... I think, like I say, there's 10 issues available. It's just brilliant stuff. The artwork's amazing. And it's really heartfelt as well, because this... Although the action is crazy and over the top, it's a character story, and that we're just touching upon like loss and trauma, and sometimes just people being assholes. And as we know from Snake Claws, it's always a bit more fun to follow someone who's an asshole.
Show.
Yeah, exactly. So Backtrack, well worth your time, and a perfect time to pick it up on Comixology on digital, because you'll just churn through them. Which I'm looking forward to reading the next four issues now. Amazing. Anyway, Tony, do you want to finish
last one? Yeah, so it's my sixth monthly recommendation of Savage Dragon. So yes. It's Savage Dragon 257, writing and art by Eric Larson, colours by Nikos Koutsis and Mike Torres, letters by Ferran Delgado. Image Comics, obviously, $3.99. I've sent the boys three images from this comic today, which we will mention in a second. It opens in the snow in what kind of you feel like is, you know, Viking times or something like that in the snow. And there's a woman who's told by a young kid to stay clear of a local cottage. And the woman is quite attractive, quite busty, and has got something that is quite visible, which I sent you a picture of, didn't I?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's all done in... the sort of fair maiden, you know, thou best stay clear kind of language, you know, it's like that. So she heads in, and what she finds is Thor, God of Thunder, has killed a character called Radnok and has taken his eye from him, and he pops his eye into his own eye socket and says, oh, that solved that. And of course, Thor has appeared in Savage Dragon before, and the person who stole his eye was Savage Dragon's father, who is now dead, but there's a twist to that. The woman, Grinholder, is told in a bit of a sort of sinister, bit of a rapey way that Thor and her will be getting to know each other a bit better. And the next thing you know, Thor and what the young kid who turns out to be his son are walking away from the cottage as it burns. I'm guessing with the body of Brunhilde inside it. You know, we then skip over to Dragon's life. Now, Dragon's life is always slightly more complicated than it should be. His dad has died. But his dad from an alternate reality that has been merged with our own, whose name is Paul, has turned up. And an extra sort of interesting twist, his dad has got a fin on his head that is like... Anyone knows anything about the history of Savage Dragon knows that Eric Larson drew it as a kid. It's like it's been this character that's been with him for years. Yeah, and the original version of Savage Dragon had this, what is described in the comic as looking like he's got a croissant on his head. And that's the other Savage Dragon, who is now down to one arm. And he is... trying to make his life in this world. He's working on a building site, and he's got a girlfriend who he proposes to and stuff like that. But Thor is telling his kid, look, we're going to go and revenge the person who took my eye now. I've got this extra eye. Let's go and take a revenge. And the current Savage Dragon is in the playground with his kids. He's got Savage Dragon looking kids who are playing on the swings, and this character who's the Canadian, who looks straight out of Alpha Flight, you know, turns up and says, you've got to leave because Thor is on his way to Toronto, which is where Savage Dragon now lives. You've got to go because he's going to come and kill you, and he's going to come and kill your family. And meanwhile, while that's going on, Thor is kicking the asses of a whole team of Canadian superheroes in what I sent you, which is just talk about a fight scene. Brilliant. That double page spread, it's very Image Comics, but it's very Image Comics with a lot of skill and a lot of detail and a lot of really well drawn characters put into it. I sent it to you earlier, didn't I? What a double page spread that is. That's the sort of thing I could see you doing down in a comic, you know, a physical comic as opposed to a web comic. You think?
I've got some really big moments coming up in the comic. Well, I say coming up probably next year. But I want to start when we're talking like small press comics, that's like just around the corner, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff in some double pages.
Yeah, it's just I mean, I won't ruin the rest of it because something happens and there's a cliffhanger in it. I've got to wait for the next issue. But consistently month to month, this is the best book in my pull list, and it's not selling blockbusters, you know, it's not selling hundreds of thousands, but it should be. It's so great. It's so modern Kirby. It's so legacy. It's so, in, you know, there's humor, there's action, there's violence, there's, you know, there's a, you don't know who's going to survive to the next issue. It's brilliant stuff. I don't know why people aren't on top of it. It's the coloring is amazing as well. And I also love a letters page in a comic. There's a 3-page letters page in this, in which Eric Larson replies to letters in, which is another great thing.
Yeah.
He also gives it gives a chance for a backup. So there's a backup from some other guys in the back of it, and you do get some revolving backstories, you know, backup stories in it. Some of them occasionally are one pages, some of them are ongoing, and this is part 7 of a story. And that other character, I understand, I don't know if you know this, guys, but there's another character called Vanguard in the Image Universe, and he makes an appearance as well. Yeah. Sort of secondary character. Yeah. Not as good, but yeah, he makes an appearance as well. So get on it. I mean, please just try it. I guarantee you will love it. It's by far, you know, one of the best books out there consistently. And it's a labor of love for Larson. He just enjoys it, I think.
Yeah.
When I only think he's independently wealthy from his days at Image, but he just puts this out, and he talks a lot about it, and he's very interactive, and you can speak to him, and hopefully we'll have him on the show at some point soon.
We'll see.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah,
we'll see, because Dan can then tell him off for having a character called Vanguard.
Yeah, exactly.
And I want a front row seat for when that happens.
he had his character way before mine, and there's no way I'm going to go one-on-one with Larson. Fucking hell.
Well, it would still be wonderful to see.
Yeah.
This week has been a wonderful episode, and there's loads of great comics for you to check out this week. As always, the show links are bristling, and I said the word bristling, yes, with amazing books. So yeah, check them out and go and check out all these books. They're well worth it, and we hope you enjoyed this week's episode and talking about some good old fashioned violence. Hey. Because it's been a lot of fun. Thank you, Edison. Thank you again, Edison, for joining us. It's been awesome.
It is, yeah,
no problem.
Edison's going to be going to bed.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. He's getting to the point. It's like, thank God, he's wrapping it up. And yes, I am wrapping it up. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @theawesomepod, where we've got lots of guests lined up. I think that we've got it all locked up until
into April now, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. And episode 300. So find out more about that. For some reason, I suddenly thought of the film 300, but I'll probably make some sort of cheesy reference to that when it comes.
Yeah, we can use a little soundbite from it, can't we?
Yeah, why not? Yeah,
with big burly men wearing just loincloths.
Yeah.
It's not homoerotic, that movie, though, is it?
No. But we are going to cover ourselves in baby oil for that episode. But so look forward to that. You can, if you do Facebook, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. Join the community group, Awesome Comics Talk. There's loads of great talk on there that is about making comics, comics conventions, just artwork you like. There's lots of great discussion going on there. Whether it be funny, informative, and there's a great community of people that get involved on there. I haven't checked out for a little bit, so I need to catch up on that. It's on my to-read pile. A community group is on my to-read pile. That's crazy, isn't it? But it's worth it because it's great. And thank you to everyone from there that joined in with the discussion this week as well. We appreciate it. Thank you for listening, whether it's on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, subscribe and leave a review. It helps get the word about all the indie comics and creators and everything that we talk about every week, and we really, really appreciate it. If you listen to us on another network like Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, what other networks are we on, Tony?
We're on Pod, How You Like Me Now.
he's been watching too much telly, and that song's been stuck in his
every
head.
Every fucking advert, How You Like Me Now. What?
You've put it out into the sort of like social media universe now, so you're going to probably get sent links to that.
Yeah, probably.
But speaking of social media, etc., where can people find us online, etc.? Tony?
NeverIronAnything.com. Thank you.
There you go.
Boom.
Go check that. Boom. That's very succinct, Tony.
Thank you, baby.
Yeah. And Dan, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter, Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at VanguardComic.com.
Which you should, because it's amazing. It's
Thank you.
It's really going places.
So yeah, this one's good.
Yeah.
Rock the boat, as it were.
No.
Oh, I mean, if Dan Butcher's saying that, which means we're probably going to have to prepare for lots of people dying. So, yeah. He's going to break our hearts, and we're going to love reading every single page of it. you can find me on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Jester Diablo. And once again, Edison Neo, the man with the coolest name in comics, and one of the coolest comics out there. Thank you very much for joining us. Once again, it is our pleasure.
Our pleasure, baby. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Pleasure.
Where can people find you, once again, just for the listeners, on social media, etc.?
You can find me on neocomicart.com, and on Instagram and Twitter is neocomicart. And watch out, because I'm almost done with book 6.
Yes.
And once that is done, we're going to have a trade paperback to collect everything into one volume and with some bonus material.
Oh, nice.
You're almost done with issue 6. You're almost done with issue 6 already.
It's an oversized issue, and we have 33 pages, and I'm on 23 now.
Good man. Yeah. Because why keep it to 20 pages?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I couldn't fit the whole thing into 22 pages.
Oh, God. Yeah. No, just think about the amount of action he fits into one issue. Can you imagine when he thinks, I can't fit all of this into this issue, I need more pages? God.
Next week he's going to message us saying, I think I might do an annual.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah, I just can't wait to get it done. Yeah.
And we can't wait to read already.
And for the bonus material, I'm planning to do a 10-page excerpt of the Fine Pugilism Digest.
Nice. Yeah.
It'll be kind of like pages from the actual magazine
that really winds him up. Yeah. I love the fact it really gets
I think that'll be fun.
That's amazing. I tell you, another thing that would be fun, I'd love to see some people take a crack at some Snake Claws fan art. I think that needs to happen.
That'll be fun.
Come on, community, let's make it happen. I know.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll give it a go. So there you go, folks. Another great creator to follow, and more great comics to check out. We've got plenty more coming up over the next few weeks. So thank you very much for listening this week. Wherever you are in the world, we hope you're safe, healthy, and doing okay, and reading lots of comics, and just enjoying fun comics, because that's what we need more of. And from Dan, Tony, Edison, and myself, have a brilliant week. And as always, what should they do, guys?
Stay awesome.
Oh, there is the delay in there, Dan, but we'll get there. Yeah,
We need to pre-record that.
Yeah. Oh, shall we? No, it just means more editing for me. Bye, everyone.
Bye. See ya.